Happy Monday, boys and girls. My name is Jeffrey Scott Metro, coming to you live once again from the default location, default route. It's been 2 weeks since I've been here and seen this place. There's a sense of returning, a sense of getting back to the normalcy that I'm so used to and familiar with walking down this place so many times. And it is also a newness to it. The weather feels different than it has in the last couple weeks. The air, humidity, the sun, the brightness. There's a familiarity to it. And yet just a hint of new and not unrecognized, but something in that area to where it feels new and refreshed. So I'm back. Started my routine walk in my routine location 2.5 hours after my routine time as I called off work today. Knowing damn well, I probably should have took the day off 2 weeks ago. But in my mind, I'm trying to save that PTO and get to work and just keep it moving. And also, in the back of my mind, I know I can just call off if I don't want to go. And I'll take the hit for unscheduled absence. But it's good to be back. Best part of traveling is coming home. Because if you don't come home and it ain't traveling, it's something else. Okay, it may not be the best part, but you know what I mean. And coming home and being back home on this walk right now, it hit me how rich and full and probably fulfilled my life is. I talk a lot of stuff about human beings. I talk a lot of stuff about human relationships. Be them platonic or intimate. In fact, at the Funketeers Ball, on my way to the Funketeers Ball, when I left, Tony Cam and Jackie was walking ahead of me. And I'm walking behind them, and you know, she got on her Funketeers Ball outfit, shining like a disco ball, and you know, he got his stuff carrying in his luggage bag, walking down the street, and they holding hands. And I was like, oh. Okay, you know, it's not that I'm against relationships or have an aversion to them. Okay, I may have an aversion to attachment. I may have an aversion to attachment and dependency on something other than J-E-F-F-E-R-Y. But, you know, it was refreshing and to see, and it gave me a good feeling just seeing it. You know, knowing Mr. Cam, Mr. and Mrs. Cam, and, you know, seeing what they do and just how they do it. And camera cut off to the heat, then it wouldn't restart correctly, so I had to restart the
Forestop the app,
blah blah blah. Not that I have, okay, it may be that I have an aversion to attachment and relying on something other than something outside of me, or having that kind of dependency on anything. So, but to see them two, you know, walking hand in hand, I get it, I feel it, and I know that the best thing, or the highest, most exhilarating, the best there is a relationship with another person. That's the highest I've ever been. The natural, the highest, best feeling I've ever had comes when I interact intimately or platonically, whatever, with other people. And I know that. So when I got back today, I'm thinking to myself, you know, there are things in my life that I've taken for granted, and I know I have, and I've said it here before, but it seems to be compounded more and more as I go on, as I've always had people around me. I always had good relationships around me. You know, I've always had somebody has always been there should I need them. And I'm not even talking about if I need them or support, just to have that communication that outlet, that interaction that lets me know that I'm functioning in a group or society or however I want to put that. I've always had that around me, so I take it for granted. You could probably see by my personality that I walk in there like, Jeffrey here, y'all. And it's just, and like I said, it ain't my fault if I'm spoiled. It's y'all did that. Y'all did that to me. I did not, I had, y'all got more to do with this than I do. Y'all got more to do with this than I do. And in fact, to get kind of real trippy, there was a situation at the Funketeers Ball after party where somebody asked me to get them something. And I don't know if it was my ego. The more I thought about it, well, like, maybe I'm like, I'm here to do what I do, not to do something else. And I didn't want to be distracted. It could have been that I was triggered, and I definitely was triggered by being asked to deviate from the moment that I was in, how I was feeling, to stop what I was doing and give my attention to something or someone else. And I've said that before, that I know I have a problem with that. But they asked me, and I heard, Jeffrey, give me dinner. You know, that's what I heard, because people was talking and stuff. That's what I heard. And I'm pretty sure that's not what was said. You know, looking back, I'm pretty sure not. I'm sure it was probably politely asking me, could you get this for me, please? What I'm sure it was done that way. And I was kind of standing right there. You know, it was, but my reaction. I have to look back and look at that reaction. Because, and I'm thinking, it's because I don't ask people to do stuff. I don't ask people to do stuff. And so when people ask me to do stuff, it may come off like I'm selfish or maybe ego, or I'm too good to do that. Are you asking me? I'm like, would you ask George Clinton to get you something like that? And if I know my black folks, they'd be like, if he was standing by the ice machine, I would. If he was standing over there by what I needed, I would. And that's just the way black families act. That's the, you know, that's the way families are. I don't even say black. I got to say black because it seems like that's the way, you know, our family is. Because if we sitting around watching TV, whatever, you stand up, you got everybody going, could you? And that's just the rule. In fact, it's to the point where my sister and them, they know to ask even before they stand up. And I know that is, and I'm the outlier. I'm the one on the outside. You know, I'm the one who lives by myself, pretty much, you know, conservative in my needs and desires and relying on people. And I said conservative just to lean towards that Republican, socially conservative and fiscally conservative idea, political idea. I'm starting to more and more see that I might be that person. You know, don't be asking for a handout, do it yourself. It's just the way I'm kind of wired. And so when they asked me to do that, I reacted. And you know, I didn't react like all mean or nothing. It kind of tripped me out and it stunned me. And of course, after I get stunned, I play with it, you know, let it go through my head and do exercise. I even talk to them about it, you know. But it was me. It's definitely me. And it was something I probably could have done, but I would just jolted out of the situation. Because we were all there. I mean, the P-Funkies was there. We was hanging out. P-Funk Mitchell Jeffrey was there. I was in my zone. You know, that's what it was. I was in my zone. And this kind of tilted me out of it. I ain't gonna say it quite knocked me out of it, but it kind of like jolted me out of it. I was like, huh. But you can see I'm still talking about it. I've been thinking about it for the last couple of days, my reaction about that. I was even thinking about reaching back out to the person just to say, blah, blah. First of all, saying, number one, I'm not apologizing. So I will look, I'm not apologizing, but I'm looking back at the situation and I'm seeing that where my reaction, I don't even understand my own reaction. But anyway, that's just me and people. That's why I do things by myself. I stay by myself. They even tease me to this day. Are you okay? You're going to be sleeping in your car. You're going to be sleeping in the airport. Because people say, hey, come on over, Miles. Man, I got 4 bedrooms. I got this. You can get that. We'll come pick you up. We can do this. I'm like, no, I'm cool. Because this time by myself is what I'm talking about. And even like this whole walking with the podcast thing by myself on a stick where I can actually communicate and relay ideas, information. I can express and expound and not have nobody around. It's a one-way dialogue. I could go live. Nope. Nope, but it's just one me and my thoughts. But anyhow, so that's kind of how I feel about that. And growing up, family, my sister's always been there, mother, father. Even though he's gone, he's still, I mean, there's no getting away from Clarence Walter Mitchell the second. There's just no getting away from it. And then, okay, I'm just going to jump around. Then I go back home, right? And I'm a grandfather. And I realized, I was telling some people, I'm thinking, who was I telling? I think it was Brenda and Joanne. I was like, yeah, I'm a grandfather. They were like, you know, black women, they be like, yeah, you damn right you're a grandfather, blah, blah, don't even, you know, blah, blah. I'm like, well, wait a minute. You know, it's only been like 3 years. You know, for them, you know, it's been a few decades where they've been able to get into the whole grandparent thing. And some of them got great grands, I think, or something like that. And then it hit me, it's only been 3 years for me. You know, coming up on 3 years. And now I got three grandkids. You know, that idea is still new to me. That idea is still new to me. In fact, when I went back and I saw a new grandson and I held him, you know, and he was real cool. He was cool. You know, wasn't crying. I was on. He was fun to play with. Even though he didn't do nothing, I had a good time with him. I was just looking at him, looking around and seeing him do what he's doing and, you know, watching him do whatever he's doing was just so fascinating to me. And, you know, it was a good time. My son was there. His girl, granddaughter came. Me and granddaughter went over there. And then my old grandson, my first grandson was there, who I don't get to spend as much time with, so I ain't gonna say he don't like me, but he don't want to interact with me. He still, you know, has an aversion to whatever, and I don't mind because I probably antagonized it. And I'm like, I don't care, I'm just gonna be that person. And he just got to stand there and look at me like I'm crazy, because I ain't letting up. I ain't letting up. But, you know, he came around a little bit, and I'm thinking, I'm standing there, right? It was four Jeffries. There was four Jeffries in that damn room. You know, and things like just hit me. You know, this is like big, major stuff in somebody's life. And it just hit me. There's four Jeffries, J-E-F-F-E-R-Y. Me, my son, and he named his two sons with the middle name Jeffrey. And I'm like, you know, wow. You know, and it kind of, it didn't blow me away, but in a sense of Jeffrey scale and how sensitive or non-sensitive I may be about things, it hit. I'm like, wow. You know, and granddaughter was there and I got a picture of all three of them. They was looking at me. You know, I got Greg. And Joanne, Brenda was like, of course you're a grandfather. And it was like, you know, like, well, I'll smack you in your head. What you mean you ain't a grandfather? And they would start talking about, you know, they start telling their stories, you know, how long and, you know, what they've been through. I'm like, well, this is kind of just new to me. And that was my out. And I was like, yeah, because it did hit me funny. I mean, just to have that, you know, to go back there. Okay, check this out. I go back home I've been going back home every 2 months, ever since granddaughter was born. Because I can work from home. Because I got a job I love. We're working with people I respect. I ain't gonna say, I see, you know what, and when the job comes in, I ain't gonna say I love them because, I mean, I probably do, whatever, you know, the platonic sense, whatever. But I respect them. And in this case, that's really more goddamn important that I still respect the people I work with after 10 years. That is more important than love could ever be, if you ask me. Now, so I work with people, I respect them. I go in there, I could be Jeffrey. You know, my personality, whatever. I feel that I'm in a harmony with the social situation there. And I feel that I am in enough disharmony to still be Jeffrey. So that's just a good, wonderful experience to have that. And that is kind of, that's a relationship. See, that's a relationship that I may or may not have aversions to. And I'm just used to them. So I got a good, you know, I got a good space at work. And What's I gonna say? I forgot what I was gonna say. I was gonna tie work in. Yeah, I got a good space of work. And then I go back to Ohio and I get to stay. I stay with my daughter. She got a room for me. I got my own room with a bathroom right off that room. Nice shower. The kitchen is like right there. You know, it's just so convenient. And the door outside, I mean, everything is so convenient. And I can work from back there. And she got internet. I mean, just the whole thing. It's just nice. And I get to spend time with her and granddaughter. Oh, my God. And granddaughter just, you know, her personality just blows me away. And I'm still trying to figure out how a three-year-old can do that to me. I'm still trying to figure that out. So I have all this around me. And I go back there. My babysitter's still there, Brenda. In fact, I didn't have a mouse. I left my mouse here at home. I left my mouse here, so I didn't have a mouse. So I text Jesse, my babysitter's husband. They've been married for like 40 years or whatever. And I used to hang with him. When I first came out here to LA, he was the one who I first saw just jumped in the car and went places in LA. And I was just amazed. He was like, oh, let's just go. It was back in Thomas Guy's. I was like, I want to do that. It took me about 15 years to get that comfortable and to get to, you know, to know my way around. And actually, you know, moving from Pasadena to Azusa, then moving to the valley, you know, right in the, close to the heart of LA and just getting used to the traffic and all that. But, you know, I got there. So these are the people I'm used to having around me. So I text him and say, man, you got a mouse? He said, yeah, Brenda got a mouse. Now, this is my babysitter that I've known all my life. This is my babysitter who probably knew me before I knew me. You know, she had a mouse and he brought it over. And I was like, oh, my God. And in fact, he picked me up from the airport. And we talking, you know, just have those kind of relationships around me. And I know they're important to me. And I know they're crucial. And that's just a little part of it, you know. And then you go back and my ex-wife is there. You know, like I said, I'm not anti-divorce because I haven't seen a bad one. Me and her got divorced and, you know, we worked things out, you know, after the dust settled. You know, she went her way, I went my way. You know, and once you have kids with somebody, there is no separation ever again. You're tied to them over those children forever, no matter what, you know. And the kids came, and the kids had kids. And so the dynamics of the group just spiraled upwards. And it's fun to go back there. Her and her husband, I hang out with, he a Cleveland Browns fan. I just, see, it goes on and on. And again, I remember I'm the one who's talking about an aversion to relationships. So I get all this. So I spent 2 weeks back there with them and food. Oh, my God, they can cook. Forget about the food and the weather and granddaughter and grandson and my son, you know, Fort Jeffries. And then I go to the Steeler game. Oh, my God. And then there's thousands of us with our towels and we screaming. And I mean, I just love the Pittsburgh Steelers. And to go back there and to be in that space, in that room, in that stadium. With all those towels and all those fans and all that black and yellow and just everybody just, oh, to feel that kind of fellowship, that deep fellowship. And to leave there and go home and get back to Youngstown and have a day and a half without granddaughter. Because granddaughter was with her father, so we had a day and a half to rest and recuperate. Well, I actually came home early. She came home early, which was kind of cool. I ain't gonna admit. See, this is the part I'm talking about. We're not being attached. She came home early, surprisingly, because he got sick. Her father got sick, and he had to drop her off to go do something like that. So, and it was right when I was walking out to go get my steps. So I just, you know, threw in a stroller, and we went. And it was cool. You know, it was cool. And I was surprised to see her. At first, you go, oh, God. And then you go, okay. And I knew my daughter was asleep. Kimberly was asleep. Worked overnight. I knew I just had to, you know, step up, take her, you know, let Kimberly get her time. You know, granddaughter loved going on a walk anyway. So we just, you know, jumped in and started walking. I mean, to have all that, to have all in my life, after the Steeler game, you know, after people back that I grew up with, you know, that I know, people who helped make me and all that. And then to go from there, go for 2 weeks of that, of food, just fun and family, to go from that, to leave that and go to the Funketeers Ball. A different kind of funk fellowship. I mean, as soon as you walk in there, I'm seeing folks. And it's like, it just spirals. It just spirals. And again, I take all this for granted. I take it for granted, but I also know I play a role. And it took me a while to realize, maybe the last 10, 15 years, that I'm not, it's not my fault that I'm spoiled, but too much, to whom much is given, much is expected. And I have a role. I have a role. And there's a relationship in that role. Even though I have aversions to relationships, I have a role that I play. That when Jeffrey P1 come to the place, you know, I just do what I do naturally. And it's not that I'm expected to do it, but I am. Or whatever. You know, there's a relationship between me and everybody and everything. You know, no matter how I may feel about it or look at it. You know, how anytime somebody want me to do something, I'm naturally, it could be my idea. But if you ask me to do it, before I say it, I'm like, it's just how I am. You know, it ain't my fault. Y'all made me like this. So when I go back there and I see everybody, and I'm, hey, I'm just being me and, you know, just naturally hoping, you know, that my personality isn't too disruptive or I'm not, well, I don't even care about it being, you know, rubbing somebody the wrong way anymore. It's sudden, the response I get is too overwhelmingly positive for me to worry about me rubbing somebody. You know, there's gonna be people I rub the wrong way. There's gonna be, you know, and it better be, shit. There better be some people out there who think I'm too loud or too wild or I do this, I do that. It better be one or two people who ain't feeling me. And that's good. But like during the trivia game, I mean, during the funk weekend, you know, the Robin Circle of P Friday night, listen to the music. Then the after party, just hanging out, everybody, the fellowship, and we've seen each other and we just talking. And then the trivia game was Saturday. And Tony Khan was, I guess, in charge, obviously, because that shit started right at 3 o'clock. I mean, since when do stuff start at 3 o'clock? It started at 3 o'clock. I caught myself getting there late. It was 3:04. It was like 3:05, 3:04, and it was already started. People was in their seats. Gary Stay was Gary started the trivia game. So I walked in, I heard them talking. I just walked in, whatever they was doing. I was like, blah, blah, blah. Just walk in like, you know, hey. I was walking, blah, 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 blah. You know, just not being disruptive, but, you know, just come in, hey, in the middle of whatever they was doing. And I walked to the front to, like, you know, to where my team was supposed to be or whatever. And somebody was sitting there or something, I think. And they jumped up and made a seat for me. And everybody was looking. And, you know, I turned around and I'm not even thinking at this point. You know what I mean? I'm not really like orchestrating or thinking. I try to orchestrate everything. I'm not really thinking about, you know, this is just me waking up, hearing the music, hearing people talking, and I'm trying to get in the middle of it. That's all. And next thing I know, I'm sitting there. We ready to go. You know, we get the funk trivia on. I mean, just to have all that around me, all that fellowship and funk and family and friends and seeing people holding hands and just the whole togetherness of life that I swear and I will always say that I'm not a part of and I'll make fun of and I'll clown. And probably the reason I can, because I have so much of it around me and have always have, that I can take it for granted. I can almost belittle it, because I know there's some people out there who don't have it, who ain't never had it. You know, some people out there who desperately want it, who would probably do anything to have, you know, the kind of interaction and relationships and not integration, but connections or harmony or whatever it is with the people and the energy and everything around you. You know, and I walked in there. I was like, blah, blah, blah. I walked in right in the middle of what they was doing during the game. Blah, 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 with my arms up like I'm Caesar or somebody. And I'm not thinking about doing this stuff. I mean, as soon as I get up the elevator and I hear them, I hear talking, I just stop thinking. I just go. I just go. Yeah. I just, you know, I guess it's well received or whatever, because ain't nobody trying to kick my ass yet. You know, nah, I mean, I just thought about the whole well received. I just do it. Like I said, I'm not really thinking about it. And just to have all that, you know, around me. I mean, I went from family, Steeler game to funk, you know, hanging out afterwards, talking to Mr. Curry, seeing Mr. Lodge Curry there at the fucking Chiz Ball. That was probably one of the more special moments, just because of the way I perceive how he handled things, you know, so businesslike. And just to see him out there, fucking Chiz Ball, mixing it up with us, and you know, because after the show, he gone. You can see him packing up his bag. He get his bag, he throw his bag. You see him, he walking all hard to wherever he got to go. Because Brenda was saying, yeah, I got everybody's picture but Lodge. I said, yep, that's all about right, because he ain't going to be hanging around. So to see him there smiling and talking, and, you know, Mr. Hampton there, his cousin. They real cousins, Wendy and Lisa. Not the Wendy and Lisa. Lindy and Lisa, Wendy and Lisa, but Wendy and Lisa. You know, just everybody, you know, just hanging out and seeing folks. And, oh, and we just sit there and talked and mingled and start talking about funk and the clones of funk. Cass John. Wesley was there, and I was like, yeah, man, I read that you the one who started started the Clones of Funk. You know, got to talk funk with them and got them going. Dad, Mr. Pedrosi was there, got them going on the whole, you know, what is funk? Because I guess, you know, everybody ain't heard the conversation. You know, everybody, in fact, we was having a conversation. I was saying, I was like, and I'll tell you something else. Funkadelic ain't funk. And they, you know, they ain't heard it, the conversation that we've been having for the last 10, 15 years. So then Mr. Majorzy was walking by, and one of the clones was like, Danny, come here, guys, let me ask you something. I said, Danny, you don't want this, keep going. I was like, Danny, you don't want to hear this, dog, you don't want to hear this. And he said, Danny, hell, what is funk? And then he just went blank face, turned around and walked away. Because we've been over this over and over and over. But it was fun to hear their perspective, you know. And it was fun to see the look on their face when I told them my perspective, you know, about what I thought Funkadelic was and this and that. And to see Garrett Scheider there and do what he did and have the band play and have Janet Cousins come up to me during the show. She said, you know, with Garrett Scheider up front like that and the band playing behind them, this could be. And she said that. I turned around like, it could be what? I said, I've been thinking about this shit for the last 3 years. This is what we've been waiting on for 3 years. I've been calling Mr. Scheider the future for 3 years now. And he's starting to come into it, but I was talking to Mr. Curry, the ideas. There's there's thought of a future planning of something he wants to implement, Mr. Scheider wants to implement, you know, going forward. He has a plan or an idea, you know, and it was really good to hear. I don't want to put words in Mr. Curry's mouth, but it was good to, you know, him to imply or be. I don't know how to put it, but he support. He was on board, basically. He was on board, you know. And, I mean, because that business is tough. The whole thing is just tough. And that's why I stay on my side of the stage. And I told every one of them I saw as much as I could. I told them, I said, oh, and I saw Benzel. Benzel was there being Benzel. I was like, man, who signs off on that goddamn drum machine? I said, who signs off on that? And I didn't push it, you know, but I just, you know, I just want to put that out there, you know, because we was drinking, you know, it was, I mean, you know, well, he was drinking, you know, it was just, we was just having a good time, you know, it was a party thing. I was like, who signs up? George came out of it. And, you know, he went on to say, basically he said, you know, it's the year 2024, blah, 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 blah. I was like, okay, I get it, I get it. And then he was saying Zap, the Zapcast was like, how do you do that? You know, I said, oh, because Zap played to a track. And he didn't say yes, he didn't say no. He went, he didn't want to give it up. He was like, but, you know, he said, and I didn't want to push it. I just wanted to say it. You know, I just wanted to say it. And he said, yeah, you know, it's 2024, different sounds and this and that. I said, but not on P-Funk, not on that extra on P-Funk. And I just, as long as I said it, just put it out there. Yeah, I think he heard me. I'm done. You know, and if he can keep doing it, it'll make it more fun. It'll give me something else to bitch about. I'll be happy. Speaking of bitch about, I'll be happy. During the trivia game, the reigning champions, four-time champions. I mean, they got a super team. Their team is stacked. I mean, they I don't know how they all came together, but their team is stacked. And we beat them. Me, Robin, Brenda, the dude who used to host the James Jones. Who else was there? Who was sitting next to me? Brenda was there. Ron, dude named Ron from Jersey. They was calling him Fonzie. Thundercat was calling him Fonzie. He was there. The cat who ran he used to do the trivia. He started doing the trivia quiz years ago. It was under his format we used to do it. I got him on our team because I stood up there. I put the team together. I may not know all the answers. I'm not, but I know people who do, and I know strategies. So I put I was looking around, and I knew to get Robin, of course, not just because her husband was doing it, actually asking the questions, because, you know, they fair. They ain't gonna cheat. They ain't gonna cheat. You know, he was fair, you know. And, you know, I liked the way he did it, the way he handled it, the way he did the questions, how he would repeat and be sure, and just be sure what was said, how it was said, the timer and everything. You know, I saw people, because as soon as I walked in there, I was like, all right, how long are we going for? How many questions or what time? And I want to know the time, how far we had to go, you know, the rules of it. Because it seemed like nobody asked. It seemed like nobody asked, you know, when is this going to be over? How's it going to end? And even at the end, people start hoop-hollering about bonus questions. You just have bonus questions. They said, nope, ain't no bonus question. Because I'm adhering to the rules. That part I know how to do. And I got an answer. I got a few answers, you know. You know, and even though I might not have been the most knowledgeable on the team, I knew who to look to, who should be best to answer the question. And more than one time, I was like, tell them. Like, that's it. You go with it. I said, go after it. So that's when, you know, I made that decision. Quote, unquote, decision, because you know how groups could be, yeah. Oh, that sounds good. Go with that one. And Robin came up with a couple good ones because, you know they shit. And we beat them. We took them down. And then it taking them down, since I knew the time, and I see we was up one, and I saw the time tick-tock. I was starting an argument. I was letting the arguments, you know, the discussions talk. I would just be talking to them, yeah. So what about what if we, you know, what? And if somebody bring up something, I'll keep talking. They keep talking to me. And I knew as long as we kept talking, the clock kept running and we was up one. And so then time ran out and we won. And there was talk. There was talk. Larry's, you know, Larry and Mark, Brooks, Zach. Who else was on their team over there? All of them. All of them. And we beat them. We beat them. It was good. It was beat them. So now, you know, like I said, now that I told Menzel about the drum machine, and now that I dethroned the champions who was kicking my ass for four straight years, I was telling Zach, I got nothing now. Now I got nothing. I'm just doing whatever I want. I have no impedance or any challenges. I'm just, you know, I'm bored now. I'm bored. It's like I got nothing to look forward to. No, not looking forward to. No challenge. Really, I was just, you know, being Jeffrey, of course. But, and this is what I really want to talk about. You know, just, you know, hanging out. And then this week coming up, this Saturday, LA Maggots. Oh, and then Larry. In fact, Larry, during our trivia, you know, the other dude on another team, we've been talking shit for 4 years. Another team come walking up to me before the game started. And I'm like looking at him, and he like wearing all black. You know, he got on all black, because usually he have on pins or Stozo stuff or whatever. And I'm looking at him all black. And he unzipped his jacket, and I saw that LA Maggot look. I saw the LA Maggot. I was like, oh my God, he gonna try to hit me like that. So he, the other dude on another team wearing the LA Maggot shirt. I was like, all right, you wanna play, right? All right, all right, all right, we going at it then. So it was good, it was just good. See, to have that, and that's what I'm talking about. I talk crazy stuff about people, but I love people. And I'm sure that when people see me out there with people, they can obviously see how much I enjoy being who or what I am and with them, for them, or however you want to do it, with them and us together and us all just, oh, it's good. And I do take it for granted, and maybe I'm supposed to, because if you think about it, you need your toes. Without your toes, you really can't walk. But I can't spend most of my life praising my toes or worrying about my toes. You know, you got to just take them for granted and keep going and do bigger things. You can't get so caught up in being grateful and the gratitude of a situation to not fully exploit it. And I think some people who aren't sensitive to certain things, it helps them to excel at others. I'm not held down by gratitude or thankfulness. I'm not thankful. Am I thankful? That might be it. Maybe I'm not thankful. I'm probably not. That's probably what it is. Thankful. Thankful. I think that's the word. Maybe not so much taking it for granted, but thankful. I mean, and then you turn around. And I say thankful, when I say thankful, maybe think of George Clinton, Mr. George Clinton, Mrs. Clinton Carlin, and that whole thing they got going over there to keep this thing alive, to keep this thing alive, and to be a reverent, keeping Mr. Clinton alive. And that just came to my head, but it probably fits. Keeping him alive, to keep this thing alive for me. Like I said, everything, things that matter most, I think the most important things I think are how and what affects you directly. And not too much affects me more deeper and more directly than Pete Funk and Parliament Funkadelic and going out there and seeing that band and doing what I do. Traveled all over the world because of them. I mean, I probably would have done it anyway, but not like I did it when I go see them. So I'm just thankful and I'm grateful. I'm gonna try to be grateful. I'm gonna be thankful. I wanna be thankful and grateful for the weekend I just had. And then to come home to an empty apartment just the way I left it. In fact, coming home to the apartment just the way I left it, I called my niece, who's going to school at UCLA. I said, can you go to my house and reboot my computer? Because I couldn't log in. It was locked up or something. And she did. She actually went up there. I mean, just to have that around me. You know, now, she owed me. I done spent so much money on that child. But then again, spending money on her gives me a pleasure. It's like I'm getting stuff out of it. You know, I bought her first Wii. I bought her PlayStations or whatever. All that. You know. And I spent the money to do that. I'm like, I bought that. I'd be like, how about that? You know, she owed me. But, and for her, to pay me back is for her to continue to do what she's doing, how she's doing it. That's the payback I want. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep them grades. Keep that attitude. Even though she's like super liberal, like nauseatingly liberal, and everything is racist and offensive and get rid of them and, you know, all that. But she'll see. She'll see as she get older, start paying taxes, and get assets and not want to share those assets that she worked hard for, when she look around and see other people who just ain't going to work because they know you're going to give it to them. You know, she's young. She's supposed to be that way. Just to have all that around me. Just to have all that around me. My son, like I said, daughter, and just cousins, my mother, family. Just to have it all around me, I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I think now, this may be just the time to where a moment now I had to take a day off work. It gives me time to be thankful. This might be, you know, a time for me to be thankful. I mean, I even got to give it up for the Dane in Denmark. Me and her relationship, whatever you want to call it. It's just, you know, to have her there, to be able to talk to her about certain things, the way we get on, you know, the times we've shared in the past, the good times we had, our thinking, the way we can, you know, go at a subject and talk about it and just, you know, flush things out and go through different understandings, and to have that all the time is just, you know, I'm spoiled. Ain't my fault if I'm spoiled. Y'all did it. I had nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. My mother says it was her sister, my aunt. She said it was Aunt Connie that did it. She said it was Aunt Connie that did it. She would let nobody do anything to you. And Aunt Connie now, she said, I knew we should have beat you more. Aunt Connie said, we should have beat you more. I said, yep, y'all did it. This is what y'all created right here. And I love it. Again, it goes back to what people or whatever anything has done to you that directly affects you, or in this case, directly affects me. It helped create me. And I love me more than anything. I don't think there's nothing better than being Jeffrey. I don't think there's anything better than being Jeffrey. And I know I didn't do it myself. I'm not here because Jeffrey wanted to be like this. Yeah, Jeffrey wanted to be like this, but he didn't. I didn't do it on my own. There's no way in hell I got to be who I am and what I am on my own. Too many hands went into it, from friends to co-workers to enemies, even just all of it. You know, so I just want to say I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful. I think that's what it is. I'm being thankful. Hey, look at me being thankful. I am thankful. I am thankful. Anyhow, swinging on y'all two times. For me, for the funk. And for every elementary particle that has ever existed in any atom, in this or any universe that ever was, is, or will be. A totality of all theory of universe. Hypothesis of all as one. My name is Jeffrey.